Spiegel at Home.
I'm just saying, Lawrence, you were saying some stuff last week, if my memory is correct.
That's why Danny left.
Afternoons on the Score.
Throwing up one last dose of hope. 2-2 to Torres. Bouncing ball towards the middle. Edman with a spin and a throw. And the Dodgers dominate game three. They're a win away from a world championship.
It has been a one-sided World Series so far, and the Yankees have an opportunity to stave off being swept tonight in the Bronx. Our guy, Steven Nelson, who people who are Score listeners will recognize his voice, has done all sorts of stuff locally, is the biggest White Sox fan in the world. But he's also the Dodgers broadcaster, and he joins us now here on Spiegel and Holmes. What's up, my guy?
Hey, Loho, always great to be with you, brother. Matt, great to audibly meet finally. Congrats to you and Loho on this new chapter at the Score. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Steven, thanks so much for that, man. Yeah, great. We're doing well. Congrats on the run, and Lord knows this series might end tonight. But I always smile when I hear you pop up on a condensed game or whatever. You're sounding great. What has it been like? What has it been like to sit above in that catbird seat and watch this team play this well for 84 games of this postseason?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. One, two, gonna have to get your ears checked. but it has been an amazing ride. Like, it just for me, again, I've weaseled my way into this thing. It's like the fly on the wall for this postseason run. You know, doing radio for the first time since I was in college this year, and I have the utmost respect and a full heart for my beloved Chapman University Panthers. But doing Chapman baseball and doing Dodger baseball and then the postseason, two wildly different things. So I'm just trying to not suck as much as I normally would and kind of reduce the learning curve as fast as I can. But this team is a ton of fun. It does have a different feel to the Dodgers teams that I think everybody has in mind from the last decade, during this dozen-year stretch where they've won a lot of regular season games but haven't been able to put it together for the postseason. This team is a lot more fight and resilience, and I think they've really endeared themselves to the fan base and helped a lot of Dodger fans out there fall back in love with the game as they've gone on this great stretch.
What was Friday night like?
Oh, my God. I would love to recount it fully, but I'll be honest with you, Loho, I just blacked out and screamed. Not entirely sure what I said on the air, so I can't be held responsible for it. The way I can put it is this. Anybody who's born after 88, which I was born in 89, and, we listen to stories from our fathers or parents or grandparents, uncles, whoever, talk about what it was like when Kirk Gibson went deep off Dennis Eckersley in Game 1 of the 88 World Series. Now, the subsequent generations have a similar story. It was Gibson-esque. It was just an unbelievable moment. I haven't been a part of anything like that in any sport at any point in my career, and I don't think I ever will again. It's all downhill from a walk-off Grand Slam in the World Series. But just trying to take ourselves back to where we all were Friday night, kind of building up. It was the last day of building up the hype and anticipation for the first Dodger-Yankee World Series since 1981. And really from that one swing, first pitch fastball down and in from Cortez, and Freddie absolutely tattooed it, it has been a totally different series. That was like a Mike Tyson punch to the stomach, and it took all the air out of New York's lungs, and they haven't gotten it back since, and they're still trying to find their breath. So that's the best way I can sum up that moment. I mean, for Freddie Freeman to not have an extra base hit the entire postseason and then to now have homered in three straight World Series games is pretty ridiculous when he is severely hobbled and also playing through some other stuff. So he's a legend.
Well, that's kind of where I wanted to go next. The story's been told a little bit here and there inside of the playoffs, but for the fan that's going to tune in tonight because maybe they'll see a sweep, what's been going on with Freddie Freeman? What has been his story this season and this postseason?
That's, I mean, it's important context to keep, Loho, because this has been a year from hell for Freddie and his family, to be quite honest. You know, it goes back into the regular season when his youngest son, Maximus, he and his wife, Chelsea, they have three boys, Charlie, Brandon, and Maximus. Maximus fell really ill, and they didn't know what was wrong with him. And it got so bad that Freddie and the Dodgers were in Houston, had to fly back. And Maximus was kind of on the edge there. It was touch and go, and ultimately he was diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome, GBS, which is just like a devastating nervous system. I don't even know how to describe it, but it's awful. You know, and he's 3 years old, and he's had to relearn how to do everything. You know, his just body shut down. And so, you know, he missed time, obviously, with that. And it's not like, oh, he was off for a few days. He's just, you know, he's not sleeping in the hospital, right? Like, that's time away from baseball, but it's not time off. It was, if anything, you know, time on, you know, way more stressful, far more stressful than any baseball game could ever be. So then that happens. And then when they clinch the National League West against the Padres in that ultimate, penultimate regular season series, at the very end of that game, Freddie was stepping on the bag trying to avoid a tag at first base, and his foot was basically perpendicular with the line, and then when he hopped off, it just rolled over. And you know, we don't have to be a professional athlete. Any of us who tried to play pickup basketball, you sprain your ankle, you're cooked. And so an injury that should have kept him on the injury list for 4 to 6 weeks, he tried to squeeze into 9 days. And so he's been taping that up like you would see a football player on Sundays. And again, you know the old thing at this point. This time of year, nobody's healthy. Nobody's close to 100%. For Freddie Freeman, that's especially true.
Talking with Steven Nelson of the Dodgers broadcast booth here as they're on the precipice of winning the World Series. Dave Roberts is about to do something nobody's ever done, which is to win a World Series while using at least four pitchers in every game. It's a different time. It's a different universe. Tonight's a bullpen game. I mean, it's crazy. And it even for a team with a payroll like that and big money people, et cetera, has he mastered this kind of thing? Like, is this a coronation season for Dave Roberts if and when they finish this one out?
Yeah, if he were to do that, it certainly would be a legacy cementer for sure. Because, at this point, what can you say? Obviously, there have been critics since 2020 and, you know, critical of the 60-game shortened season, even though any player or coach that went through that will tell you in many ways it was more grueling with all the protocols and the COVID world that we were all living in back then. But anyway, if they were to finish the job here, he'd have his second world championship. And the job that he has had to do, he and his staff all year, you know, in conjunction with the front office, to overcome a dozen guys on the injury list from a pitching standpoint. And not just guys. These are dudes. Hall of Famers. Clayton Kershaw, not pitching. Tyler Glasnow, not pitching. Gavin Stone, who is their best pitcher all year, not pitching. Dustin, you know, the list goes on and on and on. So it has had to be by committee. It has had to be this overworked bullpen that features a handful more Dodger reclamation projects, guys they pick up off the scrap heap and turn into dudes again. It has had to be those guys. It is the unexpected postseason breakout of Walker Buehler on the heels of a second Tommy John, you know, Jack Flaherty and Yoshinobu Yamamoto, you know, both dealing with their own physical ailments. So, you know, for him to keep this team afloat, you know, when Tyler Glasnow went down, I think that's the biggest story. The Dodgers were in Atlanta down the stretch of the regular season. Tyler Glasnow, it was announced that he was going to be done for the year. And the Dodgers as a clubhouse, as a team, they were down. And I think they were mentally and emotionally out of it. And they had a team meeting that night and to try and reinstall belief in themselves and self-confidence that they could do it despite all the talent that they didn't have. They were going to lean and trust in the talent that they still do have. And so, again, I think it's just been a masterful job by Doc and company, and he really deserves his flowers this year.
I've been meaning to text you this question, but I guess I'll ask it here on the 50,000-watt radio
we'll
station.
We'll do it live.
We'll do it live then. What's this like?
You're with me, Leather.
What's this like personally for you to be in the same space calling games where Shohei Ohtani is making magic happen. Like, with your personal story, what's right. this like for you to be in this?
Yeah, it's surreal, Loho. I mean, you know how much the representation means to me, you know, being a Japanese American, Asian American broadcaster, and so to now have, you know, a baseball avenger in Shohei Ohtani to watch every single day, and Yoshinobu Yamamoto and the extreme talent that he possesses, just the lightning rod that they have formed for this team, for this organization, and really for the sport as a whole. We've all seen those mind-boggling viewership numbers in Japan, and so it's just really cool, you know, to see my mom and my dad and my family engaged the way they are with the sport. You know, family members who didn't really give a damn about baseball are now just locked in, living and dying with every pitch, because it's just brought our community together in a really cool way. And then if I were to take a step back at a more macro level, just, you know, this World Series in particular with the Dodgers and the Yankees, and I know there's going to be some folks out there who want to roll their eyes at this, might sound a little too mawkish, but when you have, you know, these two organizations, you know, global brands, quote unquote, and you have global superstars, like, this, the impact that this series could have, right? Just thinking about all the kids, the young kids, boys and girls huddled around TVs in Japan, or all the boys and girls who are huddled around TVs in the Bahamas watching Jazz Chisholm, the first Bahamian-born player to be in the World Series in forever. The DR with Juan Soto and Teoscar Hernandez. Venezuela with Miggy Rojas and Cruz Dar Gratterol. Puerto Rico with Kike Hernandez. So on and so forth, right? Like, that is a really special thing to think about. And, you know, yeah, it just gives me a lot of hope and optimism, puts a smile on my face, as, you know, I try and think about the future of baseball.
Thanks so much, Steven. This has been a pleasure, man. Thanks for making time on game day. Enjoy it tonight. And no offense, but I hope the Yankees take the next three and we at least get a game seven. I don't want to say goodbye to the season yet. You know?
Hey, Loho speaks. I totally understand. Look, what I can't promise you, no one's going to be celebrating in the corner of the end zone before the final out.
Tyreek Nelson, what a pleasure to talk to you.
Appreciate you guys. Be well.
Thanks. God, we had a respite for like 9 minutes.
Steven's great, man.
Took us right back.
I love that he's getting to do this. It's pretty amazing.
And he does sound great, man, on the highlights. It's very cool.
And he is the world's biggest White Sox fan.
We got to get to Caleb. We've barely talked about the quarterback who we've focused so much on for this Bears season because of all the kerfuffle about everything else.
Yeah, let's talk about Caleb next here on The Score.